Ani, and welcome to Bom Sida, an Aboriginal news magazine program that features news, current affairs, a focus on community and culture, spotlights on entertainment and great tunes, and every flavor from Aboriginal artists. I'm your host, Jennifer Ashwasagay. Heading into the summer with a national election around the corner, some candidates and other pundits have been talking about what happened or what didn't happen at the Crown First Nations gathering earlier this year, and Bom Sida has decided to take you back to the wrap-up of the Crown First Nations gathering that happened in Ottawa January 24th. There's been mixed reaction on the Crown First Nations gathering, which was held earlier this week. Some have called the gathering historic and have come away optimistic about talks. A few chiefs left the meeting early, disgruntled their issues about treaty were not addressed. Picketers outside the gathering held Honor Our Treaty signs, and one demonstrator felt that talks were being held with the wrong person and shouldn't have been held with the Prime Minister at all. Bom Sida has reaction from Ontario chiefs and one demonstrator, which will all be coming your way right after the news. Here's your national Aboriginal news. The race to head up the Assembly of First Nations is starting to heat up. There are several candidates who have announced they will run in this summer's election. Incumbent National Chief Sean Atleo is going to run again for another three-year term. Mi'kmaq lawyer and Ryerson professor Pamela Palmater has declared her candidacy, and she also has a large grassroots following. Terrence Nelson, former chief of Raza River Anishinaabe First Nation in Manitoba, has also thrown his hat in the ring. APTN also reports that other possible candidates include lawyer Joan Jack and Northwest Territories Regional Chief Bill Erasmus. Nominations opened May 23rd and will close June 12th. Elections will be held July 18th in Toronto at the AFN's 33rd Annual General Assembly. In Nova Scotia, the Canadian Press reports the Truro Chief of Police will work with the Aboriginal community to implement recommendations from a report that concludes his officers failed to monitor an intoxicated woman who suffered a stroke in a jail cell and later died. Dave McNeil told media that the force accepts the findings of an independent review into the arrest of Indian Brook member Victoria Rose Paul, who had been arrested in August 2009. The report, released last week, found police did not properly monitor Paul's health while she was in custody. The report also indicated the 44-year-old woman was incoherent and left lying on the cement floor of the lockup for 4 hours in her own urine. Paul was taken to hospital a day after her arrest, where she later died. Part of the report recommends improving policies aimed at assessing the condition of drunk people when they're brought to jail. The Treaty 6 flag will soon be flying at Lloydminster City Hall. Cree Nation spokesperson Vern Chokan told City Council the flag will create awareness within the community and improve relations. Council approved the flag raising, which will commence in July and will include a parade, speeches, and youth dancers and drummers. It's been reported that the scheduled flag raising will be the third in Canada for Treaty 6 and the first in Alberta. CTV reports a vet program in Siksika was a huge success. Vets, techs, and volunteers spayed, neutered, and gave shots to about 400 cats and dogs in the community. The pets were rounded up by the Alberta Spay Neuter Task Force and taken to the community center for care. The group has been around for 5 years and has helped First Nation communities deal with dog and cat issues. Vets and their techs volunteer their time to perform the surgeries and give shots to the animal, and the sterilization clinic was held last weekend. Anishinaabe Nation has welcomed Professor Lee Stusser as founding dean of Lakehead University's Faculty of Law in Thunder Bay. The professor is the director of the Canadian Law Program at Bond University in Queensland, Australia. He's also an expert in the law of evidence, and he's also served as a professor at law at the University of Manitoba for 20 years. Stusser's appointment will start September 1st this year. Issues with Enbridge's proposed Northern Gateway pipeline and the federal government's environmental review process aren't going to clear up anytime soon. The Globe and Mail reports that the federal government's insistence that Cabinet should have the last say over resource projects such as the Northern Gateway pipeline is stirring up opposition. That opposition could undermine its effort to streamline environmental approvals. First Nation groups in BC are getting ready to to launch legal action if the government does interfere in the National Energy Board review of the project. The Globe also reports the entire review process is under fire from critics who say the Conservative government is politicizing the review process by giving cabinet power to overturn any future NEB ruling that blocks a resource development on environmental grounds. And First Nation groups say the federal government's actions are shortchanging their constitutional right to be consulted and accommodated on all projects affecting their traditional lands. CBC reports the Manitoba government has won a temporary court injunction to close down a First Nations smoke shop that has been illegally selling cigarettes since last fall. The judge ruled that the temporary injunction has been granted as long as the province files an undertaking of damages before it tries to shut down the Dakota Chundee smoke shop. So, if the province loses its bid for a permanent injunction, the shop owners can seek damages that they may have incurred from the temporary injunction. The Association of Iroquois and Allied Indians, or AIAI, has a new Grand Chief. Gord Peters was elected May 30th at the annual general meeting. Peters will serve out the remaining 2 years of the three-year term left vacant by the sudden resignation last September of Randall Phillips. Peters says one of his first objectives is to start a public education strategy so Canadians will understand First Nations have a right to exercise their rights. Peters says he looks forward to working with regional and national chiefs for the remainder of the term. May 31st marked the fifth anniversary of the release of the final report of the Iperwash Inquiry. The inquiry was established by Ontario on November 12, 2003, with a dual mandate to look into and report on events surrounding the police shooting death of Dudley George and to make recommendations focused on the avoidance of violence in similar circumstances. In a media statement, the Chiefs of Ontario are questioning the province's commitment to implement the 100 recommendations of the report. Some of the key recommendations included a Ministry of Aboriginal Affairs with a dedicated minister, look into policy development for consultation and accommodation, acknowledgement of First Nation burial and sacred sites, and co-management and resource sharing initiatives. In 2007, the government did appoint a dedicated Minister of Aboriginal Affairs, but took a step back 3 years later when it once again combined the Ministries of Aboriginal Affairs and Natural Resources. Canada was also recently being questioned by a United Nations committee about its lack of action on that report. MP Justin Trudeau stopped in Sudbury for dinner. Trudeau was a guest speaker at a fundraiser for the Nisswakamuk Alternative Education School on May 30th. Trudeau told media he was impressed by the school's sense of community and the huge barriers that it's trying to overcome in order to empower First Nations youth and ensure they have opportunities in the future. The fundraiser was to raise money for a scholarship, which is awarded to students who show community involvement, good attendance, commitment to their education, and aspirations to attend post-secondary institutions. The school has been running for 21 years. And that's your National Aboriginal News.
Well, you had plenty of money in 1922, but you let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here, give me some money too. Sitting around wondering what it's all about. If you ain't got no money, they're gonna put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. If you'd prepared 20 years ago, then you wouldn't be drifting from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men? Some money too. fell for your dive and I took you in. Now all you got to offer me's a drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
Digging Roots with Why Don't You Do Right. Prime Minister Stephen Harper and a handful of ministers and cabinet members met with First Nation leaders in the country this week. Most chiefs went into the meeting with a pragmatic attitude, not expecting much, but also optimistic that something good will come out of the meeting. Stan Beardy is the Grand Chief of the Anishinaabeaski Nation, and he spoke at a press conference on the afternoon of January 24th in Ottawa.
So what are you coming away with from this meeting thinking? Are you happy with what the federal government, what Prime Minister Harper has told you this morning?
Well, I'm here with some of the delegation from Anishinaabeaski Nation of Far North Ontario. We brought our handbook here, and it says, living outside a treaty. I came here hoping that the Prime Minister, the government of Canada would make some commitment to have fundamental discussions with my treaty, Treaty 9 and 5. Instead, I heard this morning discussions on training my young people to have jobs, talking about amendments, minor amendments to Indian Act. I want to have a fundamental discussion with Canada because we are a treaty partner. We agreed to a relationship 100 years ago. We agreed to peaceful coexistence. We agreed to share the land from time to time. But more importantly, most importantly, we agreed to share in the benefits derived from our homelands, and that's not happening at all. I have here a little booklet that has been distributed. It outlines some of the challenges my people are deprived of. And all we are asking for, two things, is that the people in the far north in Anishinaabeaski deserve same rights, has same expectations like everybody else in Canada and Ontario. My people have to use outhouses when it's 40 below today. A lot of my people have to live in shacks that don't have any running water or sewage. We are part of Canada. I am part of Canada. I live in Ontario, and I believe my people are entitled to the same basic services like everybody else. We don't have any expectations more than what everybody else takes for granted. That's for today. On the long term, we came here and I'm here with four chiefs, expecting that there'll be a commitment by the government, as represented by the Prime Minister, that there'll be a meaningful discussion, dialogue on a treaty which we agreed to over 100 years ago, in my case.
Grand Chief, has this been a total failure in your eyes? I mean, you're not getting anything that you wanted out of this.
I guess being here today, although maybe our expectations are not being met, it gives us an opportunity as First Nation people to tell our story to the Canadian society. That's also very important for the Canadian society to realize that when you talk about treaty relationship, there was an agreement that was put in place. One of the conditions there is that we never gave up the right to govern ourselves when we signed treaty. We didn't give up the Aboriginal title to our lands. So what that means then is from here on, there has to be proper consultation, accommodation, consent from my people before lands are further exploited without any benefits coming to my people.
What's wrong with the Prime Minister talking about jobs for young people and changing the Indian Act? Is that not stuff that needs to happen as well?
Well, I guess what they're saying is that 100 years ago in my case, Treaty 9, Treaty 5, we agreed to a relationship that would be collaborative, that we would be equal partners. What the Prime Minister is talking about is the government programs and finding a way for us to fit into that framework. What I'm saying is that if there's going to be jobs and training, if there's going to be resource development, we want to be the developers because we want to be part of that wealth that comes from our lands.
So where do you go from here?
I guess where we go from here, as I mentioned, is that the Nan Chiefs issued a resolution that says consent is required to access resources from our homelands. If you look at the map here, Anishinaabe represents 55 million hectares of Ontario, 210,000 square miles. We represent two-thirds of Ontario. So when Canada talks about wealth creation, when Ontario talks about creation, they're talking about accessing our natural resources. We have diamonds, we have gold, we have precious metals, and we have everything the world's after. What we're saying here is that my people must benefit from here on going forward.
Did you hear anything today that suggests that there's any willingness to discuss this resource sharing?
There was no discussion on resource revenue sharing. There was discussion about training my people to have jobs, to work for somebody else. We want to be the developers so somebody would work for us and make money for us.
So is this something you would take up with the province then? Because there's always a constant back and forth.
No, I think what we're saying is that we made a treaty with the Crown. How the state of Canada divides its responsibilities and powers, that's them. What we're saying is that they still have a legal responsibility to fulfill those obligations which we agreed to through the treaty making.
Do you care about the Indian Act and ripping it up, or can the Crown and can Canada observe treaties and respect treaties without getting rid of the Indian Act?
I think what we're saying is that if there was an agreement to have a discussion on treaty making, we're talking about a partnership here. If Indian Act is part of those discussions, that's where meaningful dialogue would take place.
Are you concerned that there's no future date for any meeting set here? I mean, where there's talk about going forward, but I haven't heard a date. Maybe.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying here is I didn't hear this morning anything definite. A lot of beautiful words were spoken, but in terms of, for example, addressing the immediate needs of my people, there was no real discussion on that. There was no firm commitment what happens in terms of sustaining my people going into the future. And that's why the chiefs are here to say we had hoped that there would be a commitment to have fundamental discussions on our treaty relationship.
That was Anishinaabe Nation Grand Chief Stan Beardy. We've been revisiting the Crown First Nations Gathering, which was held in January this year. Going into the race for National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, this gathering has been on the minds of some, whether anything good came out of it or not. Bill Erasmus is the Northwest Territories Regional Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, and he spoke with media during the meetings.
Didn't hear of any specific commitments to education other than what's already happening in terms of the national panel that is concluding its discussions with people across the country and will have its report done within the next little while. Everyone recognizes that education is necessary, but no new commitments.
Were there any new commitments with anything today, or was it just a
follow-up? I didn't hear any new commitments, because I'm looking for them in terms of political ones or economic ones. We didn't hear, for example, that further meetings will happen, that this will happen on an annual basis. We didn't hear that the request that we made for future constitutional meetings, for example, would happen. But I think the trick now is this meeting has happened, and it's going to be the follow-up that takes place.
Are you disappointed or optimistic that something will happen?
We're optimistic. There's two parties to this relationship. It's a bilateral one, First Nations and the Crown. The thing today that is good is that there is discussion. The Prime Minister didn't go as far as we wanted him to go. For example, he mentioned the Royal Proclamation. And that's good. The Royal Proclamation says that we're nations. The Royal Proclamation says that as nations, people coming onto our lands have to enter into treaties with us, and that we have title, we have resources. And if you would have continued to talk about how those resources would go into our communities and be implemented, then we would be satisfied. But he mentioned the proclamation, and then he started to talk as if we were the general public, saying we need education, we need jobs, the next generation has an opportunity. So we need to bridge that gap in our discussion.
Did you sense any kind of urgency on either side today, or urgency that you would expect after such a gap between the last time anything like this took place?
You know what? I feel that the meeting that happened last night had just as much, if not more, significance than today, because you've got all these people coming to Ottawa. They're coming here because they want the Prime Minister to hear them. They're coming because they want the Prime Minister to know what's happening in their communities. And that one was not possible the way the agenda was organized today. So we pushed for this opportunity to meet with the Prime Minister to hear directly from us in our communities. And so at that meeting, the Northwest Territories, for example, were able to present their concerns. And that's significant. Whether we will continue, that's to be seen.
That was Northwest Territories AFN Regional Chief Bill Erasmus. Now here's Derek Miller with Jaded Are My Wings.
Yeah.
Eli Mandeman is the chief of Shoal Lake First Nation, a community which straddles the Ontario and Manitoba border. You may have heard of this community. It's made headlines in recent months. The community is suing the city of Winnipeg over water rights. Eli Mandeman attended the Crown First Nations gathering in Ottawa, and he left the meetings early because he was angry he wasn't being heard, and he felt the meeting wasn't addressing important issues like treaty. I caught up with Mandeman outside 111 Sussex as he was leaving.
After sitting there uncomfortably all day, trying to figure out what's wrong with the picture here, I finally realized what's wrong with the picture. What triggered why I figured that there's something seriously wrong here. I'm a chief from a reserve, and I'm a spokesman, and they wouldn't let me speak on the issue of the economies in there.
And so, what did you want to say?
I wanted to say these ministers are proudly announcing all these minerals that they're exporting and selling here, and those are our minerals. They don't realize, stop it, because quit signing those free trades and start off by respecting the treaties in this country. You're not respecting the treaties when you're selling off the land like that, and you're pinning us against the taxpayer for the Department of Indian Affairs when all our resources are being They're making announcements in there. Well, we're going to make agreements with China and South Korea. And
who's making those announcements?
That was the Ministry of Natural Resources, the Federal Ministry of Natural Resources was making the announcements in there. And it just hurts me because we have a hard time here trying to get recognition to get an economy through our resources. And they're oppressing us from getting it.
And so what would your solution be? Because the other things, the other issues around here are, obviously the implementing treaties, lack of education in addressing poverty issues. And so do you have any solutions in mind?
Well, I think we should just go ahead and start our own governments. Don't worry about it's okay or not, just do it, because that's the only way you're going to get yourself out of this misery. Because they're not going to do it for us. They're just going to use our kids. That's what they're after in there. It's our kids that they're after. It's not, they need a labor force, and then they see our kids as a future labor force. That's the message I'm getting there. It's not about the sharing or the honoring or respecting the treaties. They're not talking about that at all. It's a bunch of regional chiefs, and the national chiefs is tied into it, and grand chiefs are putting this meeting together, and the chiefs are left out of it, and that's why I wasn't allowed to speak in there.
Well, in some cases, the unemployment rate in the country for First Nation communities sits at about 35%, and in some communities it's about 50 or a little bit more. So what would be the solution if not helping address labor shortages in the country?
Well, I guess to us, like I said, there is a low unemployment. It's because a lot of our people don't want to go to the cities to go get employment, and that's what we're being forced to do. Like, I've never signed any agreements where it talks about jobs. I'm talking about agreements that are going to bring me home and keep my people home, so that's where they want to be. They don't want to leave the city. They don't want to leave the reserves for a job in the city. These reserves were set aside by our elders so that our kids will always have a home to go home to. And why should they have to leave home to go for a job?
And so how can you begin to address those issues in Shoal Lake, for instance?
In Shoal Lake, they should start honoring the treaty. They put the border, the Manitoba border, right across Shoal Lake. And when they put the Manitoba border on, the federal government said in 1912, you shall go and get your own surrenders from these Indians. And Shoal Lake never, 39 never surrendered anything. That's why the water to Winnipeg that goes to Winnipeg every day, 52 million gallons of water going through every day, we never surrendered water. So we have a right to be getting something for that water. We have a highway, twinning up a highway that I've stopped for the last 3 years there. If you want to go east or west, you have to go through us. And that's what it's coming up to. They're setting us up to clash, and it's not our fault. I've been asking for meetings. I've triggered deadline dates where I'm going to take court action, and there's no response, absolutely no response or no respect from this government at all.
So what's your treaty?
Treaty 3.
And when was that signed?
It was signed in 1873, and it's the only treaty that has a consent clause to it, and I never consented to that pipeline of water going to Winnipeg. We never consented to the broadening of the highway or the highway being placed there. So there's a lot of issues that has happened from the past, But there's also a lot of issues that are going on right now where there's over 40 court cases that these people should respect. They don't even respect their own laws to try and accommodate what the laws, what their courts have been saying to us. Deal with the Indians on the treaty issues, but they won't do that.
So your treaty is over 130 years old, and why do you think that your people have been asking to implement the treaties for this long? Because the dialogue hasn't changed since then.
Because we're at an age now where we've raised our own kids, okay? In my generation, they were gone to residential schools, or they're part of the 60s school. So we were disabled from making any kind of decisions. We were living in fear all these years. Now I have kids that are saying, let's do it, Dad, let's go, let's move forward. We need jobs here. That's the difference now. It's our kids and our future kids. They're the ones that have to benefit from this treaty.
That was Shoal Lake First Nation Chief Eli Mandman. We've been revisiting the Crown First Nations gathering, which happened in Ottawa near the beginning of this year. Going into another Assembly of First Nations election, some argue nothing good came from this gathering, and so I thought we could take another listen before we start speaking with candidates next week in Bamsida. The Anishinaabeg Nation delegation went to the Crown First Nations gathering hoping their rights would be respected, especially around treaties. Grand Council Chief Patrick Madabi wanted to see more than just program delivery, and he spoke with Bamsida outside the meeting.
Well, right off the bat, I say the Governor General and the National Chief spoke very strongly about the Crown First Nation relationship. We had an opportunity to remind the Crown. Chief Day, Elder Gordon Wannabis, and myself brought the Treaty of Niagara Belt that talked about the nation-to-nation relationship, and we brought it in backwards. And then, as was told by our elders, we turned it around to signify that there's unfinished business and that there's problems in the relationship. And that was explained. So the Prime Minister spoke. And he's still talking, I think, at a different level of what we're talking about. He's still talking about program delivery. He's still talking about things. I mean, he's saying there's going to be action, but we've been telling him that treaty implementation is the key. You know, to deal with economic development, to deal with access to our resources, to deal with education, housing, infrastructure, all the issues we're having. And he's still telling us to go and see the environmental minister, go and see the Indian Affairs minister, go and see this minister. There's solutions there with the Land Management Act and other legislative measures that they're proposing. Yeah, I keep saying, when are they going to learn that somebody outside who doesn't know our communities, doesn't know our people, trying to impose solutions on our communities hasn't worked for hundreds of years, and it will never work. We have to be fully engaged as equal partners to make change in this country. So that's what the message we're trying to tell Canada, about a new Crown First Nation relationship.
One of the chiefs, Chief Mandaman from Shoal Lake First Nation, walked out because he was really unhappy that there's no talk about treaty implementation. And the other thing he was upset with was that he's hearing that Stephen Harper saying there's a big labor shortage there and the people should go there. And he thinks, that's not a good idea because they have a home to be in. And so what are your thoughts on some of those issues?
Well, there was some very strong messaging from the National Chief, from former National Chief Ovid Mercury, talked very specifically about treaty. The message was directly to the Prime Minister and to the Governor General. They were still seated there and heard the message loud and clear. I think, again, I hope they got that message. As far as I said about the recommendations for this large workforce to find opportunity, those opportunities are coming into our own territories. And we have to be equal partners in those developments. Right now, these companies that are coming to our communities are even importing workers from other provinces, other countries, to come in and take jobs that our First Nations people should have. So that's the messaging I think that Chief Mandaman is trying to portray, is that our people should be engaged on working if resources are being taken from our lands.
And so what about the Indian Act?
Well, the Indian Act has not worked for us. It's a legislation, again, that is so outdated. I've often said, I think that, you know, if we're going to really affect change, we really can't rely on the federal government. There are obstacles to sometimes our own state of mind about what we should be doing in terms of exercising our jurisdiction. Now, obviously, we have to engage them because they're here, they're a reality as well. But I think they have to realize that we're not going anywhere, and we're going to continue to fight, you know, for our rights, you know, such as we've done by getting Section 35, Protection of Aboriginal Treaty Rights in the Constitution, by getting the United Nations Declaration recognized here in Canada. But we have to put substance into those documents. We have to put substance into the treaty implementation. So that's our job to do. And, you know, they have to understand, again, you know, we have really smart young leaders that are around right now and are coming up, and, you know, they're going to have to deal with us sooner or later.
And do you think anything is going to get resolved from today? And what about respect to a timeline?
There's been no timeline mentioned. That may come out of the concurrent sessions yet. We don't know. Again, we've been saying we got to see something very substantial within the next 6 months, of some sign that something's going to get done. I guess that's what we're waiting to hear, if something substantial is going to happen here.
That was Anishinaabeg Nation Grand Council Chief Patrick Madabi. Now here's the Shane Anthony Band with "The Whole World Before Me."
Hey, Mr. Own the News, can you tell me why you only sing the blues? I don't know why you push for war. There's got to be something better in store for me and you. Well, I got the whole world before me. Yeah, I got to say it's alright. Everyone come gather round. Let's kick off our shoes and put our feet right back on the ground. I don't care what race or creed, 'cause what I see inside of you, you know I got inside of me. Well, I got the whole world before me, and then I've got to say it's alright. Tell me how the hell it all began. 'Cause I got one more thing in store. Let's kick down this door. 'Cause I got love for you, yeah. Well, I've got the whole world before me, and I got to say it's alright. Now burn it down, fellas. Well, I got one more thing to say. Let's kick this car and do 1,000 miles right away. Roll the windows down and let the wind blow through, and hold my hand now, 'cause baby, I've got you, yeah. Well, I got the whole world before me, and I got to say to say it's alright. Well, I got the whole world before me. Mm-hmm.
Demonstrators were outside the Crown First Nations gathering, holding signs to respect and honor treaties. The demonstrators marched to Parliament Hill and returned to 111 Sussex later in the day. But there was a small group which didn't go with demonstrators to Parliament Hill because the action, they say, was inside the building at 111 Sussex. The small group were representatives from the Traditional Mohawk Council of Ganewage. Stuart Mayo Jr. is the spokesperson, and he spoke with Bomsida about why they were demonstrating at the event.
Well, we take a very hard line, and the hard line is that we do not participate in any way in the destruction of our Mother Earth. This conference here is designed by the British Crown to suck in the native people into the system of where they will now be benefiting from the destruction of our Mother Earth. And you see this by many native leaders asking to, we want our cut, we want our share, we want to benefit from the use of our resources. And we, to that, we say no. There can be no development, no further development. It has to stop because our Mother Earth is already pushed to the brink. She is at her breaking point. So we cannot substantiate the further destruction of our Mother Earth by natives saying that, hey, we want to participate in that destruction by pursuing development and benefiting and prospering monetarily from that development. That's insanity. We are not the non-native. That is not our identity. They are successfully switching the identity of native people in this conference right now, as it is a follow-up to the residential school policy, wherein it was stated that it was designed to kill the native in the child. That means to switch the identity. That means you have to identify what was the identity. Protectors of land. Now show me where any of these people are protecting the land when they're asking to benefit from development, when they're asking to benefit from the clear cutting of the trees, from the mining of uranium. These people are not native people any longer. They have successfully changed their identity to being non-native people, destructors of the land.
So one of the other things, though, that they're meeting about is education and other issues, as well as extreme poverty on First Nations. Mm-hmm. And I know what you're saying about we don't want to exploit the earth any longer, and First Nations shouldn't have their share in that. But so what kind of solution should there be to address poverty and lack of real education?
Well, the solution was in Stephen Harper's apology for the residential schools. He identified that the residential school was to destroy Native identity. So when you look at what Native identity was, Native identity was we had our culture, we had our ceremonies, we had our language, we had the ability to plant on the land, hunt on the land. Now that all of that is taken away, the way to fix residential schools is for the government to replace what was taken away, which means they must pay to reestablish the native language in our people. They must restore the ability to hunt. They must restore our ability to plant, which means they must return land back to the native people. Now, this is the solution to return us back to the state of health where we once were. Now, when we're looking at if we have such poverty today, well, what caused that poverty? You know what caused it? Canadian society caused that poverty. So the way to get rid of that poverty is to take Canadian society out of the native communities. Remove it completely and entirely. That's our solution. Because we will not have our identity any other way.
So I think that's everything for me. Is there anything else you'd like to say or add on any of the things going on here?
Well, just that it is not Native identity to participate in the development of our Mother Earth, so-called development, which is the destruction. It is not our identity. Our identity is to remain the protectorates of our mother. We are not to participate in the destruction of her. So we have to ask ourselves and consider, what is happening in here? Why did they state that the Governor General will not be attending this? When we know that due to our treaties, what everybody is referring to, that the only person we are to be conducting meetings with or business is the Governor General. So when we are meeting with Stephen Harper and his first ministers, we are deciding to not meet on a national level any longer. We are reducing ourselves to less than municipal status. So everybody that's participating in this is reducing our people to municipal status. We will not have nation rights any longer after this. This is the final blow today. Mark this day. It's the final blow on Native people.
Okay. But so you know, the Governor General is in there.
The Governor General is in there, but they had stated that the Governor General would not be there. Now, why would they state that ahead of time, but then bring the Governor General in? They're looking at to mislead the public, to mislead the people who they know that they are supposed to be negotiating with. The Governor General is the Queen's representative. And as the Queen's representative is only supposed to be negotiating or talking with allies of the Queen. And the only allies of the Queen are people who are in treaty relations with the Queen. Elected Band Council officials are functioning under the exact same governmental system and process as the Canadian government. So they do not represent our people. So when the Governor General is attending, all the Governor General is doing is presiding over the transition to be able to identify that, yes, it was all within the protocols and the Native people relinquished their rights on their own.
That was Stuart Mayo Jr., spokesperson for the Mohawk Traditional Council of Ganawage. You've been listening to Bombsida with Jennifer Ashwasage. Bombsida is an Aboriginal news magazine program which includes current affairs, arts and entertainment in a cross-genre of music from Aboriginal artists. Bombsida means walking together in the Anishinaabe language. Music for the program is courtesy of Burnt Project One. If you have comments or story ideas, visit my website at bombsida.com. That's B-A-M-O-S-E-D-A. And thanks for listening to Bombsida.